Hello, everybody, and welcome to On the Tee with Dr. P, where we talk golf, but with an academic twist. This time, we will investigate why pictures from your favorite golf magazine really do get into your head, and why 8 is actually not a bad number in the game of golf. Thank you so much for joining me today as I bring you some research quite relevant to today's game. Class is in session. Let's tee up. A few years ago, I wrote a thesis and I wrote a paper that is pretty relevant to what I want to talk to you about today. You know, the idea of both of these papers were to look at how women are photographed. Now, at the time, this was not something I did for golf, but it was more about looking at media in general. And the theory that this was based on, so here's the theory for this time, is called facism, F-A-C-E-I-S-M. And what facism is it has to do with facial prominence, that it's a theory that says the portrayal of men and women are different in media, that media tend to focus more on men's faces and women's bodies. So what I did was I looked at the time, it was an election year, a presidential election year for us here in the United States. And I looked at the candidates. We had some women running that time. And I found that, unfortunately, facism was true in this particular study, that most of the time the women candidates were photographed full body, while the men candidates were more of headshots or something a little more regal. If you've ever noticed some of the headshots that sometimes the media will make, is that the headshots are photographed looking up at the figure. So it makes them look, you know, more important. So what I did find was that facism was true in the media at that time. And I looked at basically websites and things like that for that. But my point to tell you that is that images matter. And images matter so much because of all the marketing that we see, that the images out there can lead to perception. It can lead to connections with the consumer. Think of this for a moment as a consumer, of how many commercials, ads, everything, whether it's on TV or in a magazine or online, the images that you see. And going forward, we will be seeing even more imaging, videos, things like that, instead of text, since the research does tell us that videos and images work much better than any type of text or content. Now, we see a lot of images in golf, and whether you are catching those images in social media or anywhere else, magazine, online, TV ads, wherever, think about those. What are they telling us? What are the brands or the organizations trying to get us to remember about them? What are they telling us consciously? And even more importantly, as a consumer behaviorist, this is my favorite, subconsciously. What is golf telling us subconsciously about the game and the state of the game based on the images that are given? We're seeing more imaging from organizations like the LPGA. And one of the things that I have noticed is that they are promoting the more diverse consumer of the game, that I'm sure you've seen the Drive On campaign saying, look, golf is for everyone, no matter where you are from or what you do. So I think it's a wonderful campaign, and they are promoting a lot more diversity that way. So let me switch gears just for a second and back up. Let me mention that I've loved fashion and marketing, I guess, on the side, that I've loved fashion ever since I was very small. And I drew sketches, drew out fashions all the way through middle and high school. And eventually those sketches turned into full-fledged homemade catalogs. And I would, you know, bind them up and do a cover, and I'd even put a price on each one of them and all that type of stuff. And I still have those catalogs in my closet. I need to get them out again and look at them. And I'm pretty sure I had every fashion toy in the entire world as well. In my Barbie dream house had a whole floor dedicated to her closet. I decided very early on that she didn't need a kitchen. Who needs a kitchen anyway? So her entire floor, or her kitchen, was turned into an accessory room. And unsurprisingly, I eventually obtained a degree in fashion merchandising when I got older. Now, I'm sure that many of you have spent years in shopping malls and boutiques, and now that e-commerce is so dominant, that you're probably within that realm too, at least a lot of you are. And I was on the bandwagon pretty quickly myself when it came to e-commerce. I remember the first thing that I bought, and it was about 20 years ago. It was a pair of sunglasses. I'll never forget them, and I really wish I still had them, to be honest. Shopping online is about the only way I purchase anything, and clothing included. So, needless to say, I'm a constant visitor to golf clothing websites. The thrill of the new collection when I see that for the new season, it just ignites my apparel buyer instinct. As a former golf buyer, I'm sure some of you know that I did this for a living before I became a professor. And I loved this part of golf. I really enjoyed being a golf buyer. And I've seen my fair share of the trends and the forecasts. I've attended the golf merchandise shows, had a lot of fun with that. And I've had many reps in my office time and time again with catalogs and them saying, oh, this year's collection is the best one yet. You're going to love it. You're going to sell through it three times over. You're going to have to reorder this one. And one of my favorite things about the golf industry is the excitement of the new clothing and looking at some of the new equipment and things like that from my favorite brands and seeing new brands trying to break onto the scene. I always enjoyed seeing that at the shows. And as just a normal, regular golf apparel consumer now, I like what I'm seeing, don't you? As far as a more athletic feel of golf clothing, that traditional looks are fine. And for those of you who want to continue that, that's great. But I will take a legging and a jogger. I love those. But I have to say, I will pass on the knee-high socks. I hope that well, my 20-year-old legs would have loved them, but it doesn't work anymore for me. So when my local pro shop receives new catalogs, I get very excited for the upcoming season. I get those catalogs and I grab them and I hold them close and I take them either home if I can convince them to let me have them for the night, or I go sit in the corner next to the golf bags and I look at them page by page and collection after collection, word for word. It's like being a buyer all over again. And I imagine what it would be like if I was still buying, what I would buy for my shop if I was still there. And I would think about my consumer and what she would want. And I ponder, given a certain budget, of course, what sizes to bring in, what my regular customers, Mrs. X, who has been there forever, you know, what they would purchase and how much profit margin I could possibly obtain. And I want the clothes to reflect, you know, I want them to be what my consumer seeks. And again, for them to be a reflection of her personality and her unique style. Now, here's the problem. Unfortunately, I think golf brands can make this a really tough thing to do, especially from the buyer perspective. But I can see this from both ways. You see, many times in those buyer catalogs that I used to sit down with as a buyer and now as a consumer just to look through, and when I get on those golf clothing websites, you know, you may not see yourself as a consumer. You may not see you reflected in that brand. You rarely, if ever, see that Mrs. X that I was just talking about, your consumer who loyally patrons your facility and has for decades. But what you will see a lot of times on golf clothing websites, and you'll see in those buyer catalogs with the clothing, are a lot of very young and very white and very skinny women. So here's the research that I wanted to bring in on this one. I recently read a study, and they tackled this issue of being inclusive and diversity in advertising. Now, this was not a golf one, but I wanted to see if the results would be the same. And what I looked at was if the advertising really reflected the golf consumer that's out there. So this study, which is not that old, is called Diversity Online Advertising, a case study of 69 brands on social media. And what they did was they examined brands for the diversity of the models shown in their online ads. And again, I wondered if it would be reflective of what we see as consumers on women's golf brand websites and social media. The researchers analyzed basically two things. They looked at Facebook and they looked at Instagram accounts. And these were official accounts for the brands, nothing, you know, that an influencer has put up there or anything like that. But what they looked at was official accounts for race, gender, and age of the models used in those online ads. Most brands in the study, which this is great, was generally equal representation of male and female. However, the vast majority of faces on both platforms, Facebook and Instagram, were white. And there were very few mature faces at all. The researchers also found that brand ads on Facebook overrepresented white models. Facebook and Instagram both overrepresented young models, and they didn't find very many middle-aged models at all. I think about consumers and marketers that we know that young and white and skinny female models have dominated runways and ads for seems like forever, right? And while some brands have embraced diversity with their models, several have not. Here's another little study that I found that's relatable here. This was a very recent study. And what they did was they went in and looked at pictures of the now defunct Victoria's Secret fashion show. You may remember this. And the Victoria's Secret did this fashion show for a little over 20 years. And what the researchers found was that the model's dress size actually decreased over those 20 years from a 5.3 to a 3.7. So that's not a typo. I didn't say that wrong. It was a 5.3 dress size to a 3.7. And considering the average size in the United States for a woman is somewhere between a 14 and a 16, that was quite astonishing. Now, thankfully, we have seen an evolution of demographics in women's golf. And this is a great thing. Again, with the global reach of the LPGA and other organizations, we are seeing more diversity in women's professional golf than ever before. And I believe we're also witnessing a new, more culturally rich golfer segment as women join the game. The problem is that little to none of that diversity is present in those golf buyer catalogs and golf clothing websites, or really even golf social media. From my own research, I haven't written formally on this, but just as just an informal look around, I found a rare instance of a model who was not that size 3.7, and it was very difficult to find a model the age of somebody over about the age of 30. I did find that on actually one website that is female owned and is a golf clothing website, and they were extremely inclusive of sizes and ages and culture. So I think that's a wonderful thing, but unfortunately they are rare. And after reviewing a spring 2020 catalog of another major golf brand, now this is a major, major brand, I can report that it did include a woman of color. So finally, that brand did do that. It took them a really long time. And I've got some of the older books right here with me that I'm looking through of that brand that are a year old. And it's extremely, like I said a minute ago, very skinny, very white, very young. But from a golf buyer's side, it's imperative that brands include a diverse population. And you may say, you know, golf is still primarily white, so no wonder that's what you see in the ads. marketers will go after, of course, their most profitable segment. But let me tell you this one particular quote that I read. This is from Steve Monan. He is the CEO of the World Golf Foundation, and he said this in a recent Ebony magazine article. He said, "The golf industry should look like America. Diversity is fundamental to the success, the future success of the golf industry." So do you agree with that? From the golf buyer's side, the catalogs, in my opinion, are not showing the more progressive and newer segments of the female golf population. I think they're also omitting consumers who have been playing for longer than some of those models have been alive. And from the consumer side, you and me, golf apparel websites and social media should be more inclusive in regard to the models and the images that they are projecting. As a consumer, I'd ask the question, you know, why would I engage with your brand if I'm not even a part of your brand story? If you have not considered me, then why should I buy your stuff? This is a really fun thing to think about right here, that research has found over and over again, it takes approximately 8 seconds for a consumer to decide if she wants to stay on a website. And think about that next time that you're cruising around, how long it takes you to leave a website or stay. Therefore, a golf brand has about that long to convince her, me, you, to stay and to browse product. And if I'm a woman of color, or a woman who isn't a size 3.7, or a woman who is over the age of 30, I do not see myself enough in women's golf advertising or pictures or images at all. And if I'm a golf buyer and I've got this catalog sitting here in front of me, I don't see her much either. But here's the thing, she, the consumer, sees us though. And I just don't believe what she is seeing is herself. She's just not seeing herself. And from a marketing standpoint, that's a problem. That's a problem. Here's a point. Here's the class point of the day. So you've heard how facism gets proven over and over again. I do believe if I were to go through and look at golf imaging, that I would probably find a lot of the same. I really honestly believe that. Now with golf, we do have to think about images do get posted that are full body because the nature of our game, and we're showing pictures of people playing golf. But I've also seen a lot of pictures and images of men and women golfers, professionals generally, that are quite different. Women are often posted in a context other than playing. A lot of times they're posted in pictures in a different place, or they're dressed up for a formal event with dresses and whatever on. Men are usually posted or often posted playing, so they're in their current environment. But again, images matter. And women's golf brands, in my opinion, have a responsibility, a big responsibility, to be able to move the game forward. I believe this is a way that they could do that. So publishing catalogs that are not representative or do not move the game forward at all is a problem. And I believe that's the same with golf websites and who the models are and who they're showing out there. Show consumers that are current, and show consumers the emerging consumer segments. Show us women's golf isn't homogeneous in your images and your marketing, and make sure that consumer will pass the 8 second point. That's a profit issue right there. So class, our time is up for today. I hope you've enjoyed thinking about a little bit more about those pictures you're seeing out there. And as you take a look for your next golf apparel purchase, take notice of who you're seeing in that ad and who you are seeing on that website. Hopefully you'll make it past the 8 second mark. If you have any questions, comments, or just want to talk, please email me at onthetwithdrp@gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter at drkelly04. Be sure to check out talkinggolf.com, talkinggolf.com, the podcast network for serious golfers. Join me again soon for On the Tee with Dr. P, your dose of golf with an academic twist. And remember, always go for the flag.